So, the past couple weeks, as I'm sure you could probably imagine, we've been pretty busy preparing, packing, tying up loose ends, which there's still lots of loose ends, trust me. But we're getting there by God's grace. Thank you to so many of you who are helping to make this possible. We're grateful for you all. We know so many of you have been laboring very hard, and we receive that and are very grateful. Actually, we're blown away by the constant communication and love that we've received here. Seriously, it's been overwhelming, and thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, we're still in our transition. We're moving forward, and hopefully we are getting very, very close, perhaps maybe this week, to at least getting our beds over here. We'll see how the Lord works that out. But this December is typically a very busy time of year in general, right, for many families, for many of us. And we figured, of course, this would be the best time to move, right? Very ideal time of the year to, like, go through a move like this. But what was very interesting is that one of the last times, actually the only time we've uprooted as a family before, is when we moved 12 years ago to New Jersey. And that was actually the week before Christmas, ironically. It was just kind of interesting. So I guess it went so well before, the Lord just thought, you could do it again, you know? So on a serious note, I guess probably just very recently, we've been feeling a little bit of the stress, a little bit of the overwhelmingness of the time. Not just in preparing to move, not just in preparing for Christmas. We've had some heavy burdens that I'm sure some of you can relate with. We're dealing with some family friction. Not us, of course, because you know. Things are always okay with us. But on another level, there's some stuff brewing in some extended family that the Lord has placed me kind of in the middle of to be a peacemaker, right? come let us reason, please. We've also had some health concerns. A couple kids, a couple of us feeling sick, like some of you here today. And on an even sadder note, a friend of mine who the Lord has had me minister to over the years, we kind of got disconnected, but just found out where that he died from an overdose. So, you know, I know these themes are close to your hearts as well, you know, so maybe right now, we're feeling it a little bit, you know, and maybe some of you too. And I'm not going to get emotional, don't worry, we're totally going somewhere, God's going to bring us there. But just as a little opener, you know, I'm just trying to be real with you, you know, like, kind of in hindsight, taking a step back, I think, yeah, this is a vulnerable time. It still is, you know, when life's spinning, so many things are going, right? So many things are going, you're trying to keep it going. But how do we keep the joy of Christ in the midst of it, you know? And that really is the glory of Christmas. And the joy has come, you know, that heaven has come to dwell within us, and that we don't have to despair as the world who has no hope, you know, because our hope is just so far greater. So let's pray. Let's pray right now. Father, we commit this time to you. In every sense of the way, we acknowledge that you are Lord over this service. You are Lord over this church. And Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Your word is living. Make it come alive in us as we just pursue your heart during this time, God. So, just give us a calmness. Give us a listening ear. Myself included, Lord, remove all distractions of thought. And may our hearts just be open to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, navigating the busyness and the added burdens, right, that we kind of face. In preparing my heart personally for Christmas, there's certain things I do kind of like routine each year, maybe some of you too, but I like to spend some time in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, just kind of getting afresh of the Christmas story, you know, and I love honing in on certain details, like I just love it. I get stuck on a word, and I'll just stay there for a while, So anyway, I've been spending some time in the Gospel of Luke just to prepare my heart and mind for Christmas. Because it always comes up so quick, right? It seems like it always comes up so quick. And then by the time I'm ready for it, I feel like, oh, it like passed, you know? And now we're into January. I'm like, all right, now I'm ready, Lord. It's like, no. Like, so I'm trying to slow it down and really just, I've learned to really engage with the Lord and His Word and engage in His Scripture regarding the coming of Christ, the first advent, right? So what's very interesting, if you end up looking at Luke chapter 1, this just blew me away. Luke does an excellent job at carefully investigating and recording the details leading up to Christ's birth. And it all was according to first-hand eyewitness accounts. Definitely check that out. We're not really going there today, but it's just a side note. Luke chapter 1, like the first 3-4 verses are just like, boom. Like, he's saying he carefully investigated all the details related to Christ's birth. It's just wild. So where God's word began to minister to me, though, was as I was reading through chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was this overemphasizing message, and it really just came to me. It's the good news of Christ, our peace. Christ, our peace. So I was chewing on that. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And the angel said to them, this is when the angel appeared to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you the good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased." So it's clear from this passage that the good news is the Savior. The promised Messiah has come into the world. The good news is also, as I considered, the peace that He brings. So I was honing in on peace on earth, peace, you know. Peace is connected with the coming of the Christ. So that's where I want to stay this morning, because that's how God was ministering to me in this message. So while I was tempted to feel overwhelmed and stressful, like stressed and overwhelmed with all that's going on lately, when I was focusing on verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased." Again, it's just the peace of God. What is the peace of God? And that's the question. What does it mean? That's what I was pondering. What does it mean to have the peace of God? Like, we hear about it all the time, right? Like, what does it mean to have God's peace? I'm glad you asked. So the peace of God. Well, first and foremost, and I'll attempt a 3-point sermon here. Let's see how it goes, all right? Here's the first one. The peace of God is related to our standing before Him, our justification, our salvation. Jesus makes peace with God possible. This point is the most important and the most significant, actually. There's no other point that's more significant than this. As it pertains to the first advent, the first coming of the Savior, now we can have peace with God. Isaiah 9:6. It's a messianic prophecy of Christ's birth and His incarnation. Isaiah 9:6. We read this a lot at Christmas time, right? "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." A son will be given to us. "And the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name," we sang about them, "will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. So the Savior given to us, the Savior given to us, brings a peace that was not possible before. That was not possible before. Isaiah 9 describes the Messiah's superiority over all government, because it says the government will rest on His shoulders. His power and His reign over all creation. Isaiah 9 speaks to this. And what is his name? It says his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And by the way, all of these are references to Christ's deity, like in so many other passages, right? This is just one. I mean, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. These are things that were prophesied in ancient times over the Christ, you know, that he would be Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. So as I read this and I paused and I reflected about Jesus being our peace, then I started to ask some other questions. Why is that significant? Why is that meaningful in this question, how is God our peace? So let's look at another passage, another prophecy, a key prophecy about the Savior, Isaiah 53, verse 5. You'll be familiar with this too, many of you, I'm sure. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So, starting to develop this and starting to answer the question, what does peace with God look like? Well, it means being restored to God. There was a separation, right, because of sin, our sin. And Jesus is our peace because of the cross. He gave up his life for you. He gave up his life for me. And he paid and satisfied the sin debt before God. That's what this prophecy is saying, before Christ was even on the scene. And he's also our peace because when he rose again from the grave in victory, he defeated death and endless destruction for us, granting eternal life to us and giving us eternal peace instead. So we do not have to fear death, because he lives, so shall we. Right? This is the promise to those who place their trust fully in him. Christ Jesus, the Savior, is the Son given to us, the Son of God given to us. He is the only one through which we can have peace with God, our Heavenly Father. He is our Prince of Peace and the reason we celebrate Christmas. And he is why the angels rejoiced when the God of glory invaded human history through his Son to redeem and to reunite us to himself. I mean, think about that, right? That's like the big Bible word or the big theological word is the incarnation of Christ. You know, God coming down, becoming one of us to redeem us, to restore us, to do a work that nobody can do in satisfying the sin debt that we owed. He paid it all. He paid it all. So in regards to salvation, receiving forgiveness of sin, being restored in relationship to God, the question is, are you at peace with God? You know, this first point. Have you reached that point where you are? You can say within yourself, within your soul, I am at peace with God, no longer separated. Have you humbly come before him and placed your faith in Jesus, the Prince of Peace? So this leads to the second point. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is our present peace right now, right? Heavy hearts and everything. He's our present peace right now. We must understand, though, without each of us first having a personal relationship with God, having peace with God, coming to him alone for our salvation, we can't have his peace right now. We can't have his peace, the peace that comes by the Holy Spirit that he gives. So there is a present peace of Christ in the here and now, in this current world. There's a present peace of Christ. And here's the question that I was asking as I was going through this. How would you define peace? How would you define peace? Like, what comes to mind when you think peace? I just need more peace in my life, you know? Well, for many of us, we might define it as maybe the absence of turmoil or conflict or war. Maybe the absence of suffering. Life is in order. Life is good. Life is perfect. Tranquility, right? Peace. That's what comes to mind. You think peace. Or maybe for some of us too, and I'm surely not talking about me or Beth, but peace may simply be a quiet moment in the house when the kids are occupied and maybe like out of the room, so we could just finish our coffee and have a quiet, peaceful moment. Just kidding, kids. I love you. And all the noise you make, I love it. Yeah. Actually, the noise is honestly not even sitting here. They're downstairs. So Daniel and Julia, like, they know the drill. They got it. But yeah, that's peace to me. That's peace to me. When I have a quiet moment like that, that's peace to me. So maybe for others, it's peace for you is when the boss is on vacation, or if you're a student, when the teacher that you can't stand is like out sick and you have a sub, you know, maybe that's peace for you. I don't know. But with the many pressures we face each week, let's be honest, maintaining peace of mind can be difficult when our heads are spinning, right? And we're being consumed and plagued by so many distracting thoughts that sometimes move us away from the truth that gives us that abiding peace, the truth of Christ. And on that note, it's not what this message is about, but the enemy would love for each of us to dwell solely on our problems, on our lack of peace, on the craziness that we deal with each week. He would love to steal our peace. He would love to lead us into despair and to convince us that life has no meaning anymore. Just mundane, you know? That we're just coping. He would love to take us down that road. We need to be on guard against that, you know? Don't believe those lies. Stay focused on the truth. Draw near to the Prince of Peace. The enemy will flee. He'll flee. Yeah. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. How do we resist him? By staying on guard with the truth of God. Staying on guard, pursuing him, running after him, drawing near to the Prince of Peace. Keeping his word, saturating ourselves with his word, his truth, where the lies start coming, like they don't even penetrate anymore because we've been there, done that. We know it only leads to sorrow and despair anyway, so... But yeah, it's a battle, right? It's a battle. We wrestle with these things all the time. So how do we maintain peace when experiencing, let's say, the loss of a loved one? I mean, this is where it hits home for our family, for you guys, I'm sure. When you're battling a serious health concern, dealing with conflict in a relationship, or a reoccurring habit, right? Or getting migraines over how we're going to pay the rent or the mortgage. This is real stuff, man. This is real stuff. We deal with this stuff every day, every week, every year. So all these things relate to the sorrows and troubles that we encounter in the world. Yet how many of you know, and this is one of probably the greatest points, that in the midst of the growing pressures and uncertainties of life, there truly is a present peace of Christ living inside of us and abiding within us that lifts us out of our sorrows, you know? And I think that's the point. And we're going to go there with a couple more passages. Like, Jesus is talking about a peace that it's not of this world. It's not of this world. And that's I think, where I'm hoping would be one of the main points of this message, even though I don't know what point I'm at, but I think I'm at the second point. Second point, Christ our present peace. Trying here. As we live in a broken world and deal with the effects of sin that are all around us, Jesus came to give us his peace, even today. This is his promise to you and to me. It's not a peace achieved on our own. It's a peace that comes only from him. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's right. If you followed any of the ERC prayer emails lately, you know, and I'm just starting to tap into them. Like now, you know, I'm receiving them. So many of us need the peace of Christ right now, right? So many of us. Is that you? Is that you? What are you battling in your heart right now? What cares are consuming your thoughts lately? Have you given them over to God? In John 14, 27, I just love this passage. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives. It's not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The rest of that whole section is awesome and beautiful. Please read it. But it talks about Christ preparing a place for us. But the point right here is that his peace is not of this world, Jesus said, right? He leaves it with us. He gives it to us. It's not of this world. "Therefore we do fear. Therefore let not your heart be troubled," he says. So as I reflected on this passage, it became very clear to me that something very, very different, there's something very, very different about the peace that Jesus is describing here. It's a peace that's not as the world gives. So yeah, when you think about that, think about the common definitions that we just shared, right? Like the absence of war or conflict or suffering. Life is in order, perfect and tranquil, if that could ever be possible. Well, according to Jesus, it's not about any of that at all. And yet so many of us, myself included, so many of us, like that's our aim in life, right? Like the pursuit of happiness is our right. You know, as an American, you know, this is our dream, the American dream. Like we pursue all these things, and yet how reverse to think, right? That Jesus is saying, no, peace is really not about any of that. No, because why? Because at any moment it could all be taken away. It could all be taken away. We live in a broken world. Like, this is not how God intended it. This is not. So let's not fool ourselves to think that we can achieve peace as the world gives. Because Jesus says, no, it's not. It's only found in me. It's only found in me. Something different. I'm going to teach you here. Jesus teaching us. Something different. Something different. So how do we know that it's not about those things? Well, John 16, 33, when Jesus was comforting his disciples, he said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me, you may have peace. In the world, what do you have? In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage." There it is again. Take courage. "I have overcome. I have overcome the world." The NIV translates it, "In this world, you will have trouble." You will. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." So we're talking to the Lord right now. You know, we love him. We're worshiping him. We're following him wherever he goes. And he says, you will have trouble in this world. Like, you want to follow me? Really? Like, you'll have trouble. You'll have trouble. You'll suffer. You'll take the hit. Count the cost. I'm telling you. Count the cost. In this world, you will have trouble. Yet God's peace is found only in him. So that's the clue. That's the antidote to navigating the turmoil that we face in a broken world, right? There's a peace of Christ within us. So, of course, none of us like the trouble. When he says you will have trouble, none of us like the trouble or the sorrows of life. But notice that Jesus is also teaching his followers, he is teaching us, not to be surprised by these things when they come. And I think that's a good point too, because we don't want to be taken back. You know, like if we just tank right in a moment, if we just say, "Hey, I'm all in with Christ, I'm all in with you, Jesus," and then boom, you know, one thing gets taken away from us, or we take the hit on something in the world, and then we just leave. You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, he's saying that don't be surprised by these things. Like, he's trying to prepare us. He's trying to prepare his church. He's trying to prepare his people to endure and to overcome these things. How? With the strength that comes not from ourselves, but from him, and a peace that comes only from him. So it doesn't mean our circumstances will always change like that. Sometimes they will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's still in the business of turning things around, right? But sometimes you got to go through a long, trying season, life. Yeah, so our peace is not found here. Our hope is not found here. That's really, ooh, this is on. All that Christ came to do at Christmas, you know, and that's why it is news of great joy, because even beyond where we're trying to go, even in this message, there's so much more that Jesus offers to us, you know. So don't be surprised by the trials when they come. It's kind of crazy. You will have trouble. And like sometimes, you know, in these kind of off doctrines of the Christian faith, you hear about them, right? They're trying to sell you, you know, like just like a half gospel. You know, I thought the Christian life was one of ease, right? Where nothing bad ever happens to me. And what suffering, you know? What trial? Like, come to Jesus and your life will be perfect. It's like, yeah, right. Like, how's that working for you, man? How's that working for you? I don't know. I don't know. But to keep it biblical, it could be a tough sell, right? To say, Jesus says, follow him and you will have trouble. That's a tough sell, right? So, I mean, there's something more the Lord is after here. There's something more he's after. But to every son and daughter of the Prince of Peace, Jesus says, I will be with you. I will be with you. There's Emmanuel with us. With us. What great treasure that is. You know, what great hope that we have to know that we have the promise of his presence right now as we endure and go through all these things in a broken world. Like, we don't have to despair. Because he is with us. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. So this is very reassuring. This is very reassuring. And why we need to keep our minds on his word, on his truth, right? Yeah, because we tank without it. We tank without it. We go off base. We go off base. We listen to the whispers, the lies, and, you know, we feel that pull, you know, towards that old man, that old woman, right? We feel that pull sometimes. But no, we gotta stay in God's word. We gotta feed on his faithfulness, feed on his truth. Let his word just become like let his word be our addiction. I mean, seriously, I don't mean that to sound a little weird, but do you crave his word? Like, I know there's times when I feel very dry. I feel very dry when I allowed the busyness to get the best of me. I admit it, right? Sometimes I allow the busyness to get the best of me. I feel so dry. I feel so dry. But when I open his word and the Holy Spirit just ministers through a passage or two or a chapter, man, it just lifts me. He just lifts me out of it, you know? And that's the beauty and treasure we have in God's word. So stay in his word. Hunger after his word, you know? Desire, crave his word, right? Like the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirst for you. It's not this message, but really, like, let a thirst and a craving rise up within us for the truth of God, because it's the only way we're going to be able to stand. You know, times get tougher, and God's word says they will. You know, I'm not a doom and gloom guy as you get to know me, but really, like, I'm realistic about these things. It's not a perfect world, and there's a lot of persecution that we face in these times. So, it's very reassuring to know when Jesus says, I will be with you. I will be with you. The promise of his presence living inside of us. Christ in you, right? The hope of glory, scripture says. So nothing we ever battle can ever compare to this. Nothing we battle can ever compare to this. God, our Emmanuel, with us, in us, working and living through us. Could be a little deep, but that's the reality of those who have received him. So he encourages us to take heart, to take courage. Jesus gave us his word, gave us his spirit, so that in him, you and I can have his abiding peace. It's a peace that comes only from him. And in John, that same passage, John 16:33, it also struck me too when consider how Jesus overcame the world. Like, how did he overcome? Was it in glory and, you know, all the nations were bowing down to him at his first advent? You know, was it? No, like, he came on a donkey, right? The scripture says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, like the other prophecies of him. He endured temptation. He endured hostility. He endured suffering. And he endured death itself. In fact, he overcame it all by conquering the grave. By conquering the grave. He is the victorious one. That's our King. That's the Lord Jesus. That's the Prince of Peace. That's our God. He's the victorious one. So this is our confidence. Our confidence is in that fact. Our rest is in that fact. Our peace is in that fact. We overcome as Jesus overcame. You know, we are overcomers, right? Praise the Lord, for we are overcoming church. You know, this is part of our heartbeat. You know, and so many of us, God is helping to overcome so many things. You know, but we are victorious in Christ. And this is why the Scripture says we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him, always through Him who loved us. So you see, the peace is not of this world. Why? Why is the peace not of this world? Well, the obvious is because Jesus is not of this world. Jesus is not of this world. And by the way, if you've been spiritually reborn in Christ, neither are you. Neither are you. I mean, these are the identity truths of Scripture, which I have to say liberated me as a young believer. Like, no joke. Like, tapping into what God declares over me, man, I had it all wrong. And then I'm like, whoa, I'm your son. I'm your beloved. Like, you love me. You care for me. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I'm no longer under condemnation. You call me holy? You call me blameless because of your shed blood? Like, whoa, it's too high, it's too deep. You know, I'm undeserving. Anyway, so yeah, the identity truths are very important. If we are spiritually reborn in Christ, we are not of this world. We are not of this world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. So the other reason his peace is not of this world is because, as I've already stated, the world is broken and imperfect. So his peace extends beyond anything external. You got it? His peace extends beyond anything external or any type of peace that societies might try to fabricate. Like, we might try and create this peace, right? It's not possible. Jesus is saying it's not possible. So his peace is not of this world. The peace of Jesus Christ transcends the cares of this world. Have you received it? Have you received it? What's your trouble? What's your trouble? Are you drawing near to the Prince of Peace in it? Are you drawing near to the Prince of Peace in it? Or are you drawing near to something else that's killing you? You know what I mean? Like, this is real stuff. This is real stuff. Like I said, I started out just sensing there's a bit of a heaviness here because we're feeling it too, if I have to say. And the joy, though, is that there truly is a peace, you know, that Christ gives. And there's a strength in that. There's a strength in that where we don't have to sorrow as the world sorrows, you know? So be encouraged. Draw near to the Prince of Peace. That's your part. That's my part. Always, we draw near. We draw near. Always do your part with God. We can't just always sit back and think that He's just going to do it all. You know, He did it all. It's finished at the cross. Our part now is just to receive it, to appropriate it, to receive it, to access it by drawing near to Him, filling our heart and mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind with His Word. Okay. So to be clear, the peace of Christ is a supernatural peace. It's not natural, all right? The peace of Christ is not natural. What's natural is to freak out. What's natural is to freak out, to give in to fear, anxiety, and a sense of hopelessness when facing our difficulties, our trials, our troubles. That's what's natural. But the peace He gives is supernatural in that His peace steadies our heart, steadies our mind, steadies our emotions, right? This is the supernatural peace of God that resides within through Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. It's the peace. It's also a fruit of the Spirit.
Right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Work of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Without which, it would not be possible to keep our soul at rest. Not be possible to keep our soul at rest. So remember when Jesus was with his disciples sleeping in the boat? I don't know if some of you might be familiar with that. Matthew 8. He modeled perfect peace and rest. Now I know there's a point to what he was teaching the disciples about faith. You know, there's these storms raging and Jesus just sleeping in the boat. They're like, what are you doing? Like, are you crazy? So no, Jesus is basically showing us how there is a perfect peace and rest that can be maintained through our faith, as we demonstrate faith, despite the storms that rage around us. We can have the same peace, knowing that he can still control the winds and the waves. That's our Lord. That's our Lord Jesus. He can still control the winds and the waves. He is the Lord of all creation. He demonstrates his deity, his power, his rule, his reign over all these things. It's throughout the scripture. Can't go there right now, but it's throughout the scripture. You see his lordship over all. And he demonstrated all of his power over whatever you and I may be facing today. You know? That's our Lord. Unchanging in this. Unchanging in this. He's not in the manger anymore, right? Like we rejoice in the manger. We rejoice in it's a glory story, you know? He's not in the manger anymore. So when you think about the image of Jesus sleeping in the boat during the storm, just picture yourself. Because this is what I was doing, like when I was going through this. Picture yourself taking on the peace of Christ in that way. Like, just envision, like, whatever you're dealing with right now, right? Whatever I'm dealing with, because that's what I was doing. And I'm just like, huh. Like, there's a peace that I could maintain in the midst of it all, you know? And then there's a strength there. You know, and that's where the Lord's trying to take us, that's all. You know, I'm not going to keep hitting this point hard. I'm just saying, that's where the Lord wants to take us all, you know, to that rest, you know, to maintaining that peace of Christ within us, within our hearts, within our minds. So as we do that, as we take on the peace of Christ, what changes? We have, just imagine how different our outlook would be. We would see everything different. And just imagine how much stronger our faith would grow, right? Just imagine how much stronger our faith would grow. I recall a close friend of ours, a sister in the Lord, when she was sharing with us a very serious health concern. She had a scan done. There was some stuff, nodules and lumps found in her lungs. And although she was very concerned, and she was asking us for prayer, again, good friends, close friends, what stood out to us was her outlook. Was her outlook. Like, she's sharing all these things. And even as she was sharing her heart with us, we remember the sincerity of her words, of her comments that she landed on. Like, after she shared, like, what the doctors were telling her, we remember how sincere she was when she basically was saying, in effect, her, like, the last thing she was saying to us, she said, I do not know where this will go, but my Heavenly Father knows. And he cares for me, no matter the outcome of this test. Can you say that? Can you say that? It spoke to me. It spoke to us. Right? See it, honey? I know, right? It spoke to us. I want the peace of Christ like that. Yeah. You know? So despite the unknowns, despite the concerns of what the doctors were telling her, she maintained such a spirit of peace and rest within, you know, which comes only from Christ. So this brought me to another sub-point or two or three. peace correlates. It's like interconnected with rest. You know, I'm focusing on peace. You know, Christ, our peace, Prince of Peace. Like this, God's. You know, how do we access God's peace? This, what is the peace of God? That's what we're talking about today. But rest, it's like intermingled, intertwined, so closely associated with peace. And that's what I picture when I was reading about, you know, Jesus sleeping in the midst of the storm, right? That, like, it's a rest. So peace and rest, interconnected. Just, you know, chew on that, reflect on that. So as our friend demonstrated her faith and confidence in God's promises, because that's why she had the peace, you know, like, remember, our faith always has an object. It's not blind faith. You know, we can't just speak things and like, oh, like, I mean, it's our faith has an object. It's the Lord Jesus himself, you know, and in every sense of the way, he's trustworthy in all that he said. So her faith is in his promises. And she showed us, you know, she showed us what possessing the peace of Christ actually looks like. You know, and I know some of you are there, you know, and what a great witness. Sometimes that's the greatest witness that any of us could have when the onlookers of the world are watching us, you know, the church, the Christian, you know what I mean? Like when they're watching us and how we respond to these things, the greatest witness is probably right here in how we have this peace. It's like, whoa, something way different about you. And then we start to conclude and start to discover and start to realize, huh, when Jesus said, we are in the world, but not of it. Maybe this is what he means. Maybe this is what he means. We're not of the world. We don't despair as the world despairs, you know, because we are people of great hope, you know, that no matter what comes our way, there is a rest for the people of God. There is a peace for the people of God because of the Prince of Peace. So, we are resting in God's promises. We are resting in his truth. We are resting in his very nature, the very nature of God, the attributes of God. We are resting in his presence. His peace can become our true reality. Not just things we're talking about here or reading about or singing about. It's like God longs for it to become experiential within each of us. You know, this is the life of a believer. This is the true life of those who are in Christ. So in our circumstances that would otherwise induce fear, anxiety, hopelessness, etc., we can have a peace knowing God loves us and cares for us and that he is sovereign over all, over it all. So then this raised another question. How do we access that peace? How do we access that peace? Consider the following two passages. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Which, by the way, I will probably make reference to this passage a lot. A lot. It is so instructional and comforting for each of us. I hope it is for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what? Then what? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart, guard your mind in Christ Jesus. This is his promise to us. Our part is to come to him in prayer. That's how we access his peace. Consider too, Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. So the emphasis is the importance of staying steadfast, staying committed to the Lord, persevering, persisting in faith, keeping our mind on God's word. We have to be in his word. So there's the role of our mind. So the role of prayer in accessing his peace and the role of our minds, you know, filling our heart, our minds with his truth. Because often the trip-ups that come and the anxieties that emerge, it starts with our thinking, our thoughts, you know, and often it's just that change of perspective. God just wants to flip the perspective, you know, and then everything changes, you know. It's true. I know many of you know what I'm talking about. And God wants us to be there more so, so that we are strong in Him. You know, that we don't have to shrink back. So whatever it might be, you know, health, financial, relational, a personal struggle, whatever might be threatening your peace right now, even at this Christmas, know that we have the privilege of accessing Christ's perfect peace. Christ's perfect peace. Our part is always, always to draw near to Him. He offers His peace in the midst of whatever is weighing on our hearts. And let's not forget, too, which would be the third point, He is also our coming peace. He is also our coming peace. Christ is our coming peace. This is what prophecies about Him also say, and the Scripture also teaches, that He is coming again. And things will be very different from His first coming. Things will be very different at His second advent than they were at the first. So, although we battle the tension and the trials like right now and the here and now, because again, broken world, fallen world, life is not perfect, you know, there will be a day when all of it is taken away, when Christ, our peace, our Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, returns to make all things new again. And that's His promise to us. So one day, according to His word, there will be a new heaven, a new earth, in which His peace and His righteousness dwells and reigns. Back to another prophecy in Isaiah 9, which we often hear at Christmas time. Isaiah 9, kind of speaking to this thing, like the coming, the second coming of Christ. Isaiah 9, verse 7 says this: "There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace." Or of peace. "On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." Forevermore. It's an eternal kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom that we have to look forward to. Only at Christ's second coming will the earth see and experience what it's like to live without sickness, without turmoil, without conflict, without death, without war. Only then will we experience the everlasting peace that is promised to us when all things are made new. But we get a taste of it now, you know, and that's really what makes me smile, seriously. We get a taste of it now because I know my dark times. I know my dark times. Let me tell you, this is the only thing that lifts me. This is the only thing that lifts me. I pursued and tried all the world has to offer. You know, more and more maybe, you know, you hear some of my stories. Some of you know my testimony. Never brought me there. Only left me dry. Never brought me there. Only left me wanting. But Jesus gives us something far more greater. You know, it's a joy within. It's a peace within. It's a rest within. Within our soul. So because of His first coming, we can know the peace of being restored to the Father, right? That was the first point. And we can experience the inner peace of Christ within our hearts and our minds, the present peace of Christ, as He ministers His rest to us in whatever the storms we face. Jesus desires to be our Prince of Peace today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Please stand with me for our closing prayer. Jesus, how grateful we are for Your sacrifice, for Your blood shed for us, that You would care for us. God, what great love this is that You have shown us. Forgive us for the times when we think we're alone and we try and figure it all out on ourselves, Lord, without You. God, help us to draw near to You, even today, even this week, even tomorrow, into the new year, that we might access Your peace regularly. That, God, that we would not be hindered any longer from the plans and purposes that You have for each of us, Lord. Your set-apart purposes for each of us being so significant in Your story and Your plan. God, we want to run with You. Lord, we want to run with You. And And when you say to rest, we want to rest. when you say to go forward, Lord, we want to go forward, but we don't want to go back, Lord. We know the things that haunt us, God, and we don't ever want to go back there. So Holy Spirit, would you be our help? Would you be our help to just bring to mind all that you, Lord Jesus, have said and done? Help us to be people of your word, of your truth, and to speak life and hope and encouragement to each of those that are hurting and needing around us, God. So God, I just pray a blessing on everyone here, God, that we would all just appropriate and receive your peace this week. Whatever's concerning us, Lord, may we each feel your touch today and tomorrow and this week, because you love us and you are with us. And our adoration and our love is expressed back to you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.